In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. This past week, we celebrated one of the 12 great feasts of the church year, the elevation of the cross. We are still in the midst of the season of that festal time. The cross is still on prominent display before us. We're still singing some of the hymns of the cross this morning. And today, this Sunday, following the feast, we are called to consider the implications of this feast. We are still being called to consider how to personalize the event that we commemorated. Having celebrated the significance of Christ's triumphant crucifixion, we are now called to live out that celebration, to live out that triumph in our own lives. In the epistle text today, we hear how the Apostle Paul makes a bold statement that he is crucified with Christ. And in the passage from Mark's Gospel, we hear Christ calling us to take up our cross and follow after him. In order to truly make this feast our own, to personalize it, to take it to heart, in order to truly exalt the cross in our own lives, we must learn to take that call of Christ today to heart and follow through. In a sense, it's a simple call to understand. Take up your cross and follow. But it's a difficult response to live out, isn't it? There are essentially, though, three steps in Christ's calling this morning that I would like us to look at. Essentially, the gospel invites us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow after Christ. And these are the three steps in the process of discipleship. We must first deny ourselves. And secondly, we take up our cross and we identify with Christ. And finally, we take those steps of following after him, following in his footsteps. We deny, we identify, and we follow. So first consider how we deny ourselves. We are called to deny ourselves, not to indulge ourselves, not to build ourselves up, not to exalt ourselves, but rather to deny ourselves. This kind of self-denial recognizes that we are not the center of the universe. We are not the most important person in the world. We have to deny ourselves and set aside our desire to be selfish. We have to deny ourselves, putting our ego in check. We acknowledge our rightful place in this world, and we humble ourselves before God. We deny ourselves in this sense, in the right sense of the word, but we don't deny ourselves in the sense of deprivation, in a wrong sense. It's not about overlooking our basic needs. There's a difference between what we need and what we want, and I think we all recognize that this is true. Let's face the facts. Most of the time, the things that we want are not what we need. The things that we want aren't even what is good for us necessarily. And so this kind of self-denial is essentially calling us to acknowledge the impulse of want that we have inside us. The impulse, I want that thing. I want this experience. I want this, that, something else. And the call of self-denial is calling us to deny that impulse so that we don't act upon that impulse just because we have the impulse. We're denying that impulse of want. We deny ourselves remembering that we don't need everything that we want. And this is the first step because there's no way to begin discipleship without this step. There's no way to take further steps in this journey if we're not willing to deny ourselves. How can we take up our cross if we're not willing to deny ourselves? How can we follow after Christ if we're not willing to deny ourselves? We cannot. We first must be willing to deny ourselves and embrace that proper sense of self-denial. But then secondly, we identify with Christ. And how do we do that? We do that by taking up the cross, by identifying once again with Christ and what Christ has done for us and accomplished through the cross. We once again affirm what has taken place in our baptism, that we have been identified with Christ and united with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. That is how we take up the cross. Our cross is first and foremost, the cross of discipleship that we bear is first and foremost an identification with the cross of Christ, an identification with what Christ has already done for us. We take up the cross again, remembering the fact that Christ has performed this great work of salvation for us, and we identify with him and with his work of the cross. When we think of taking up our cross and following after Christ, that cross of discipleship that we are called to bear, we often associate it with bearing our hardships patiently. And it does, to an extent, have to do with that. I mean, there's an application of it that it clearly has to do with that. But that is not our primary focus and should not be our primary focus. The primary focus is always upon Christ. So even the cross that we bear, we look to Christ. Taking up our cross, we're affirming that Jesus Christ is our Lord. By taking up our cross, we are affirming that Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. By taking up our cross of discipleship, we are reminding ourselves that our life finds meaning, that our life finds its greatest fulfillment as we identify with Christ, as we identify and remember who we are and what Christ has done for us in his victorious crucifixion. See, when we take up the cross in this sense, it's no longer an empty gesture. There are those that will make the gesture of the cross and it becomes very empty. There are those that wear crosses and it's more of a thing of superstition than it is a thing of faith. And it's not supposed to be either of these things for us. The cross is indeed a powerful symbol, a spiritual weapon, but only when we take it up in the right sense of the word. And it's in this sense of it. We take it up in the sense of identifying ourselves and our lives with Christ and what he has done through the cross. We take up the cross remembering that through the cross he secured the way of victory and salvation. And truly, the cross of Christ is our hope. So we take up our cross once again, affirming the hope that is in Christ. Christ has triumphed, and we once again identify with him in his triumph. Then thirdly, we follow after Christ. After denying ourselves, after identifying with Christ and his victory, then we take that next step. We take the steps of following after him. And very simply, that means to walk in his footsteps, to imitate Christ, to follow his teachings, to put them into action. We determine that we're going to follow his commandments. We're going to determine that what Christ says, he really knows what he's talking about, and we're going to try to live by those words that Christ has taught us. It's not just something to read about occasionally and go, oh, that's a nice idea. No, we're going to try to put them, take them to heart and put them into action in our lives. We determine to follow his commandments, and we do so even when we're tested. And it becomes more difficult. It's easy to follow the commandments when we're not tested. It's difficult to follow the commandments when we're being tested. But we all will be tested one day, sooner or later, in our lives. Just the common experience of life itself presents the tests of are we going to truly follow Christ or not. If we determine to follow after Christ, the time will come, undoubtedly, when following him seems to be opposed to what everyone else thinks and what everyone else is doing. It's just the way it is, because Christ proposes a different way, a way that's altogether different than what the world suggests. Christ is the wisdom of God, and he comes sharing the wisdom of God with us. And the wisdom of God directs us to actions that contradict popular notions and the wisdom of this world. And that's just the way it is. Christ came to earth, and he endured the cross to open the way to paradise. And what did he teach us about that way that leads to life, that way that leads to the kingdom of heaven? That it is indeed a narrow path. It's easy for us to get distracted and get off course. We cannot make this journey on our own. We cannot figure it out on our own. We need Christ to lead us. We need Christ, the Good Shepherd, to guide us on the path and lead us to the kingdom of heaven. The cross is our symbol of Christ's triumph over sin and death. The cross is our weapon in the battles that we face in life. The cross must have its rightful place in our hearts and in our lives. It must be exalted in our hearts and in our lives. Today we are invited to live out this reality as we deny, as we identify, as we follow after Christ. We first deny ourselves, remembering that Christ is in charge of our lives. We secondly take up our cross, identifying with what Christ has done through his cross. And thirdly, we follow after Christ, walking in his footsteps and following his commandments. We deny ourselves, we identify with Christ, and we follow after him. And the cross is truly exalted in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.